Good morning, everyone. This is Elliot Nagin. I'm the media director here at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Thanks for joining our call this morning. Just to remind you again, the Union of Concerned Scientists is an independent science-based advocacy group that has been a nuclear industry watchdog for 40 years. We are not for or against nuclear power. Our goal is to ensure that the industry operates in the safest manner possible. Because it's the weekend and we've been working for days without a break, we are taking some time off. So that means that we will not be able to reply to media requests today beyond the questions you asked during the briefing this morning. Tomorrow, Monday, we will resume handling your requests, which you should email to media@ucsusa.org. Please do not contact our experts directly. They have been overwhelmed with requests for interviews. If you have trouble getting everything down that you need from today's briefing, there will be a transcript and an audio file on our website later today. After our speaker is done this morning and we open up the phone to your questions, please ask only one question and, if necessary, one follow-up. And please, mute your phone after you ask your question. Otherwise, the sound of your typing will make it difficult for everyone else to hear. This morning, our speaker is Dr. Edwin Lyman, who will update us on the latest developments in Japan. We will then open the phone to questions. Dr. Lyman is a senior scientist in the UCS Global Security Program, and he has a doctorate in physics. Ed is an expert on nuclear plant design and the environmental and health effects of radiation. I will now turn over the phone to Ed.
Thank you, Elliot, and good morning. A brief update of what we know with regard to the status of the Fukushima Daiichi facility. The Japanese have announced that units 5 and 6 are now stable. These two plants were in the least amount of trouble to begin with, but this is still one bit of good news. It also suggests that if they've actually been able to reestablish off-site power and the pumps are functioning well, that means that at least there's the potential that they will be able to reestablish cooling to the more severely affected units, although since they experienced hydrogen explosions that may have caused further damage, it's still not assured. My understanding is that power has still not been supplied to any of the other units, off-site power, and they've delayed they originally planned to have power to at least Unit 2 by yesterday afternoon, and they've changed their deadline. Overnight, there were announcements that the pressure in Unit 3 containment was rising, and that they may have to do another controlled venting, but then that order was canceled based on a report that it had stabilized, although at a high level. So the situation is still quite uncertain. I understand that Energy Secretary Stephen Chu made statements on CNN this morning that he believes the situation is improving, or I don't want to characterize what he said, but I think our own assessment is that it's premature to make any conclusions about the most severely affected reactors, 1 through 4. I would like to explain a little bit why we still have a concern. The IAEA and others have reported that units 1, 2, and 3 have had their cores at least or approximately half uncovered, and this has probably been the case since shortly after the initiation of the accident. So it's been at least several days that at least 50% or the upper half of these cores have been uncovered. Now, that's a longer period of time for the situation than the core at Three Mile Island experienced, and the upper parts of the cores may have experienced significant damage. What may have happened is a swelling of the fuel rods that could cause a potential that reduce the ability of coolant to actually get between those rods if the core is reflooded. So the situation may not be, these cores may not be as easily cooled as they would have been if they were undamaged. Another issue that may have come up is the embrittlement of the zirconium cladding. When the zirconium becomes uncovered, after it expands and balloons, it can become oxidized and eventually becomes embrittled. If the core is then reflooded with water, that could cause cracking of the zirconium and release of fuel particles in what's called the debris bed. This was seen at Three Mile Island. The debris bed could then sink to the bottom of the reactor vessel, where it might begin an attack on the steel of the reactor vessel. It makes the configuration of the core again harder to cool. One should also note that if the core, part of the core fuses into a single mass, that it is again harder to cool the entire mass, and even if you get coolant on the outside of this mass, the center line may continue to heat up and eventually liquefy at the center and then drip down again to the bottom of the vessel. So the fact that the cores have experienced some damage raises questions about the efficacy, even if the cooling is restored and they're reflooded. The next issue I wanted to bring up was the issue of evacuation. It was Wednesday when the Nuclear Regulatory Commission advised Americans to evacuate within a 50-mile zone of Fukushima. The Japanese are still maintaining their current order, which was evacuation only to about 12 miles and between 12 and about 18, just sheltering in place. They've maintained that even though several days have elapsed since the U.S.'s own order. Our assessment is that this is a delayed response, and the Japanese are squandering the opportunity to be able to initiate an orderly evacuation, especially of sensitive populations like children and pregnant women from the site. And we are concerned that they are again, wasting valuable, precious moments by delaying this evacuation order. There were reports today that the Japanese have admitted that they delayed distribution of potassium iodide because of an incorrect assessment of the severity of the accident, and they should have distributed them sooner. And so I don't understand why they don't take a lesson from that and, again, accelerate emergency evacuations of this zone. The third issue I wanted to raise has to do with a U.S. Domestic review of nuclear power plants in light of the Fukushima disaster. Nuclear Regulatory Commission Yatsko said on C-SPAN this morning, he reiterated that the NRC is going to undertake what's called a systematic and methodical review of all U.S. Safety regulations and procedures in light of Fukushima. This we certainly think is completely appropriate, but I just wanted to point out that the NRC undertook a similar effort after the 9/11 attacks, what they called a top-to-bottom review of security procedures at U.S. nuclear power plants. That effort was stymied by opposition from the industry, slowed down NRC's attempts to seriously address the security vulnerabilities of nuclear power plants, and as a result, even as we're approaching the 10th anniversary of September 11th, there are still some nuclear plants that have not fully implemented security measures that originally grew out of changes made after September 11th. So the lesson here is that, sure, the NRC should be systematic and methodical, but not so methodical as to delay implementation of necessary measures for another 10 years. That would be irresponsible. And I think I will stop there and take your questions.